Let's get to Robert Schein, CIO at Blanky Schein Wealth Management. So, Robert, nice to have you with us here. Here's a line. Good drivers don't increase their speed as they get closer to the destination. That's a comment from Mike Feroli over at JP Morgan on the Fed and inflation. And it seems to be saying, look, we're getting there. Don't get reckless. Does that work for you?
Well, thanks for having me. It's a great quote. And that really sums up what we saw in the last 48 hours of trading here in the United States as well. The markets reacted very strongly yesterday to the CPI report, but it seems clear that the Fed will continue to tighten aggressively. But the question is, and what you were inferring is, can they continue to do so? Well, today's U.S. producer pricer index shows some moderation, and that's month over month a welcome sign of relief. We saw the U.S. markets actually close up on the heels of that. And that's just it. I mean, if you think of the fourth quarter coming into it, we have peak inflation last year in 2021. So those comps year over year will be coming down. But has the Fed really gotten a handle on it is the question. And do they go full steam ahead next week? And the answer is yes, they have to, for credibility reasons. So 75 basis points is baked in. And I think 100 is questionable, but it's off the table. I think it's expectations as usual. They said what they said last month. 75 is going to go next week.
Robert, you know, the thing is, when we look at, let's say, the September print when it comes out in October, there are many intrinsic parts of the CPI basket which are actually perhaps working in the Fed's favor and just didn't show up in this latest CPI report. And, you know, what I'm trying to get at here is we had this expectation perhaps that the CPI, both core and headline, was actually going to be lower than what the analysts had been or the economists had been predicting. And that's why we saw the baby being thrown out with the bathwater.
A bit of an overreaction, because as we wait for the data to come in, we will see peak inflation. And actually, we could be in the middle of that right now. Time will tell. But the question is peak hawkishness. The Fed's plan has to thread the needle. They said this clearly last time, that their plan is to basically destroy job openings before jobs. And so early October, we have the JOLTS report coming out. And then later that week, we have the unemployment rate for the U.S. And so October is going to be critical and pivotal post next week's Fed meeting. But I don't think we're going to have too many surprises. I think they're going to have to talk tough and act tough, if you will, for credibility purposes. But then all eyes are on October. And then keep in mind, we have the third quarter reporting season for corporations at that time, which could be a positive net up surprise because so many expectations have been lowered.
Yeah, we did see some aggressive selling, but I think you have to say, even with that, we're only back to where the market was about a week ago. So it doesn't seem like the market is totally convinced yet that things are going to, go to hell in a handbasket. However, valuations still seem a little high for a Fed funds rate that is soon to be up around 3.5% to 4%.
Yeah, but the day before the CPI report, we saw the third largest purchase of the triple Qs, 2.6 billion shares. So there was some institution and a lot of conviction behind, at some point in time, we're going to see whether we get to 4% or whether we have a rollover or a change of course, a pivot, a pause. Time will tell. But I think time is on the side of the doves, if you will, or the bulls.
Robert, you know, the thing is, when you see volatility, as we have done of late, I mean, I think VIX is up to, what, about 27 mark or thereabouts, a lot of people get tempted to start to perhaps rebalance their portfolios and also perhaps overtrade. Have you seen any evidence of this?
Well, for our clients, we're slow and steady. We've kept some cash since last year on the sidelines. We pick our opportunities to put it to work. But yeah, we do see when volatility spikes, a retail investor usually overreacts, they oversteer, and ultimately long-term, that's never a good idea.
You know, you mentioned in your notes that the dollar is quite strong, and that is definitely a headwind. With the dollar like this, you might think under normal times that there would be central bank intervention or some sort of concerted action among central banks. But it seems like the Fed really needs a strong dollar to fight inflation. And does that mean that they would be less likely to embrace that?
Each policymaker right now is on their own. And as we're seeing the Fed go it as strong as they can, as fast as they can. I think they're setting it up for bullets in the gun for later on if we do get a recession here in the U.S. as well as relative to other countries. I think Europe is struggling right now, and that's why we're seeing a divergence in sort of policy. They're playing catch up, but it's not as strong as the U.S., and that's why we're seeing the strong dollar.
Yeah, this is just it, though, isn't it, ultimately? And it's a strange one to keep, to build up your ammunition for future wars on economic slowdowns and the like, when you could actually, in building up that ammunition, send the country into a sharp slowdown.
Yeah, historical perspective is always the best. Since 1940 in the U.S., we've had CPI that's basically been above 6% six times, and four times has resulted in a recession. And all six times, as soon as we saw the peak in the inflation rate, we see the markets higher year over year. So we advise our clients to buy the peak of inflation. We see if a pause happens with the Fed, that's going to basically result in a weak dollar. That makes emerging markets internationally look very interesting as well. So that's another spot to be looking for opportunities, not just yet, but when we look for opportunities to come, that could be emerging markets look very interesting going forward when we see a potential pause in interest rate policy.
I saw a line from Kathy Wood, and by the way, she's been buying. She is notorious for buying on the dip. But she says deflation is in the pipeline. Now, I don't know how far out she means, but do you see that?
We could see that. I mean, we had fits and starts of supply chain, right? We're coming out of COVID, and finally everyone, all the retailers overdid it. And tomorrow we're going to the discretionary spending, if you will, or retail that's going to tell us, or retail report that's going to tell us about discretionary spending, which could show the signs of inflation eating away at the kitchen table economics for the consumer. That will all take care of itself if we start seeing that play out. The consumer will pull back. Therefore, we're going to look at earnings, and we could see the Fed overdoing it, right? And then that could cause a recession or even deflationary long-term spiral. Here's the bottom line. Every quarter of a basis point rise will equal $300 billion of basically adding to the U.S. deficit. So we potentially have escape velocity when it comes to long-term interest rates in this country. So we could have short-term interest rates go higher, but not for longer.
So just very, very quickly, what are you, how are you positioning yourself ahead of all this, and indeed, has it evolved?
Short term, we continue like energy, especially at these levels. In the short term, I think the macro tailwinds are there. And then obviously healthcare with some dividend plays. But again, long term, as we get closer to 4% on the 10-year, I think corporates and longer on the yield curve look very interesting, especially going into potentially recession in 2023.
All right, Robert, thank you so much for joining us. Always a pleasure to have you on the program. Robert Shine there joining us, CIO at Blanky Shine Wealth Management.